This podcast is brought to you by Purposefully Different Productions and is proudly sponsored by Little Dish, makers of delicious fresh meals for kids that are an absolute lifesaver on busy days. I love these meals because they are different to other kids' meals out there. They include a variety of ingredients, lots of textures, and are made with little taste buds in mind. Before we get started on today's episode, here's a word from our friend Giovanna Fletcher.
At Little Dish, we've spent years perfecting delicious, healthy, fresh meals guaranteed to be eaten by kids. Except when you sprinkle cheese on top instead of letting them do it, or if the Little Dish is served on the red plate or the yellow plate or the blue plate, or when you talk over them, or when they can't wear their Ranger antlers because it's summer and they're in the loft, or on Mondays or on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and potentially even Sundays. Good luck and Godspeed. Little Dish. Healthy food kids love. Find us in the chilled aisle.
Hello and welcome to season two of How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling Reed, the parenting podcast that offers reassurance, confidence and advice on how to feed your baby, toddler and the whole family. I'm so excited to be back with another season, packed with honest conversations, helpful tips and inspiring stories. And I could not have asked for a better guest to kick things off with. Joining me today is someone many of you will know and love. She's a TV personality, an entrepreneur, a mum of two, and is best known for her time on The Only Way Is Essex and First Time Mum. Of course, I'm talking about the brilliant Fern McCann. Fern's passion for food and family really has shined through to me, and I knew that she'd be a perfect guest to chat all things mealtimes, motherhood, and everything in between. Thank you so much for coming here today. I'm really, really excited to chat to you. I absolutely loved helping you with weaning before. Oh, that was fun.
You honestly, not saved our lives, but obviously when me and Laurie had, he's got a son, I've got Sunday, and we just wanted to get it right with Finty. And you're brilliant. I can't tell you how many people I've recommended your book
thank
to.
Thank you so
much. It's like the weaning Bible. And I'm not just saying that because I'm sat in front of you, but seriously, and because where I'm such a foodie as well, it was so important to me, and we had so much fun.
I loved it. I loved it. And also, it was just such a lovely experience seeing another parent in their home doing it. It was beautiful. It really was.
It's amazing.
I wanted to pick up on what you said there, because I actually saw you being interviewed a while ago and you were talking in that about how food is your love language. And I wanted to ask you, where do you think, like, first of all, what's that about? Like, where did it come from? Why do you think food matters so much to you?
Do you know, I think about this all the time, especially having Sunday, who's a seven-year-old, and she is my fussy eater. I don't like to say it out loud, even though I have done it. Laurie's like, she's fussy. And I'm like, no, she's not. She's just particular. And I think about it with her all the time, because me and my sister love food and was always in the kitchen with my mum and dad, who love to host, and they both individually were amazing cooks.
Love
and they
that.
They're some of my most favorite childhood memories. Is just, I think at the time, I'll never forget, my mum used to make this casserole and I used to walk in and go, ugh. I could smell it and I'd be like, oh, it's like a casserole dish tonight. But anyways, apart from that, absolutely loved everything that they cooked. And I think that it just really instilled those like good habits. But it's more the feeling that it gave me, because now in my adult life, I like to do exactly the same. Like, my fun and pleasure and conversation is centered around food, and it's really important to me, and I just hope that rubs off on my children.
Because it sounds like it's quite a nostalgic thing, and honestly, I feel exactly the same. Like, so many of my family memories are around like dinner parties or like making food, and my parents are still like that to this day. Like, we go around and there's always something they're cooking.
Yeah.
And I love it, and it sounds like it's really familiar with you. So it's a fondness that you've got from childhood that still sticks, is like part of your DNA almost.
Oh, hands down. And my favourite thing, of course, is the cooking and the eating, and particularly eating with like my loved ones and friends. Yeah. But my favourite thing is planning my menu.
Love it.
And I just get so excited. I'm like, but I've always been like that. And I think now as I'm getting older and I've got not more time, but like in your 20s, you just, I was just out and about and having fun.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, it just is so cozy. And I think about my guests and what we're doing and the weather. And I just love planning my menu gives me so much joy.
And do you plan, like, are you a meal planner for, like, the week? Or are you a, like, right, I'm waking up today, what am I going to make today?
Yeah. So, for example, this morning, again, I get great pleasure out of getting through our freezer. This is so sad.
No, I love it.
If you're into it, you're into it. So I sent Laurie a little text on the way to recording this with you. Yeah. And I was like, tonight, I got out some prawns, some salmon, which I'm going to panko, and I've got wraps, and we're going to do, and the girls will have this as well. Whether they'll eat it, as you know, is a different story.
Yeah.
But I was like, we're going to have salmon and shrimp tacos with a nice mango, pineapple, tomato, chili, salsa. And that is like, I'm getting excited talking about it now. Yeah. I'm buzzing that I've sent him that text and then he'll get excited about it. But yeah, it's more in the moment with the week dinners.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. Like sometimes I'll have like weeks where I just cannot be arsed.
Yeah,
life gets in the way and I'll revert to jacket potato, beans and cheese to the girls, or like tomato pasta. So, but 9 times out of 10, it will be something.
Do you think
nice.
It depends on what's going on in the rest of your life? Because I very much feel like that. Sometimes I'm like, and I'm like, I'm on it, and I'm loving the food, and I'm loving the cooking and eating together. And then there's other weeks where I'm just like, it's that motivation, isn't it? And I think so many families will be feeling that. Like even just listening to this, they'll be like, oh, I just can't get the oomph up. And I think that's really hard, but it is dependent often on what's going on in your life, right?
100%. Yeah. My meals reflect my mood and where I'm at. If I'm busy, if I'm, you know, feeling, like I can't motivate myself or what have you, or if I'm just like really stressed, then it won't be something wonderful. I think, and I think with food, I think it is emotional. Like I describe it as my love language. Yeah. And we spoke about this when we met. When Sunday pushes her meals away or turns her nose up or what have you, it's like a dagger to my heart because it's so like, it's a form of love, isn't it? Yeah. You're cooking for your loved ones.
Time, love.
To nourish them. So yeah, I think it's so emotionally led.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of parents struggle with food because of that. It's a rejection. And obviously kids go through phases. I mean, first of all, like, I've got so many questions to ask you, but first of all, do you feel like your kind of love for food and your, do you feel like it is or will rub off on the kids? Like what's your feeling around that right now?
I'm really hopeful with Sunday, especially now she's becoming more, don't want to say adventurous because that's dramatic. She, like I said, she's more selective and picky.
Yeah.
However, she will really surprise me.
Yeah.
And she loves cucumber sushi. So I'm like, okay, there's hope there.
Yeah.
That eventually she'll then have her, and she does try, bless her heart. Things just don't make sense with Sunday. She doesn't eat cheese.
Yeah.
I put this on my Instagram the other day. I was like, the girl who doesn't like cheese but will eat a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Makes complete sense, doesn't it? So I'm really hopeful with Sunday. Finty, and it is because of you and because my love of food, she's our little foodie.
Yeah,
she really is. She's into it. And she's curious. Mm. However, we went on holiday recently to Mauritius for 2 weeks. And I was like saying to Laurie, this is where it all goes wrong. And this is where it's a slippery slope. And you don't realise it's happening every day.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm admitting this actually. Every day, Finty ate spag bol and chicken nuggets and chips.
Okay.
And I was like, this can't happen. But it was just for ease. And I was like, that's it. We're ordering off the adults menu for Finty from now on.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have, it's just for ease. And like, you know, you're at the buffet essentially. Mm. And it was just more for ease. And then when we come back, I was on it. Yeah. And I think if you're a foodie, you're a foodie. And Finty just, you know, slipped back into having.
I love that. I love your honesty on that. Because honestly, we had really similar when we went away recently, or we went away in the summer for 2 weeks. And honestly, you know, you're like, this is a nightmare. And so many families write to me about traveling, holidays with babies, toddlers, kids. Sometimes they are literally, like you say, eating the same meal every single night in and out. Mm. And I always say it's a week.
Yes.
And I think you really get het up because we, you know, we hear all these messages about food and how important it is. And you think like a week's a really long time, but in the scheme of things, it really isn't. And when they're out of habit, they're out of routine, everything's really different. I think that it's so normal for that to happen. What's your advice to parents coming back off of that? How did you kind of navigate, right, we're going back home now, I'm going to get Finty back into the standard routine, the same foods. What did you do?
I think it really starts with, I know this sounds ridiculous, but I do get really stressed with the girls' food because I want it so much for them.
Yeah.
So I think the first place is, like you said, not to worry.
Yeah.
Even with when we was on holiday, Laurie was like, oh, whatever, you know. And I think because we relaxed when we was on holiday and really wanted to enjoy it, I was like, okay, I'm putting too much pressure on myself. So I think it starts with that. When we returned from holiday, I just stuck to the foods that I knew normally that she absolutely loved. And I think that's sometimes what I do is I get too excited and I'll try a new dish and then I'll feel deflated when they don't eat it. So just sticking, we say that Finty likes sloppy dinners.
Okay.
So she
the
likes
casserole.
A, she likes a casserole. She likes a risotto, a lasagna, a sloppy, whereas Sunday, who likes her roast and particular and the gravy in the bowl and the this and that, Finty's actually not so keen on. She likes it all mixed up. She actually likes big flavours. So when we returned, we just stuck to the meals that she loved. And for me, I'm just really hot on it has to have protein. Like even if we're doing a tomato pasta, I'll make sure that, that's why I find it really difficult with Sunday because she doesn't like cheese. So I'm like, if it's got protein, and now we've had a bit of a breakthrough. Because Sunday is now, hallelujah, can't believe it, eating eggs.
I love it.
And I'm so, I can't tell you how happy this makes me. So now both the girls will have an omelette in the morning. And there's so much on social media that you could get stressed out about.
Oh, God,
like, don't give your kids oats and da-da-da-da-da-da. They're sprayed with it. And I'm like, whew. You know, just as long as they're getting colourful, balanced meals. And you can get so, like, caught up with the whole process stuff. And I'm like, I'm all about balance. Balance and just, I think at the moment I'm really just sticking to the meals that they absolutely love.
Yeah. So you kind of came back, got back into the routine and gave the meals that you know they're really going to accept and enjoy when you got back.
Exactly.
Because I think that's a really good way to phrase it. But I mean, yeah, first of all, can I ask as well about your, when you standard kind of going on holiday, do you worry before you've gone about food? Do you worry like whether you're going to prep things, whether you're going to take things with you? And especially when Finty was younger as well, did you worry about weaning? Because I get so many parents writing to me saying, I'm going on holiday and, you know, I've just started weaning, or what can I give? And parents really are panicky about that. But is that something that's ever worried you?
I think it depends what sort of holiday you're going on. Because if you're in a hotel that's got a buffet, I really think that that is the easiest place to feed your children. Yeah. I was having this conversation with a friend the other day who she's going through the weaning process. She was like, oh, it was great because he could just throw it all over the floor and I didn't have to clean it up. I was like, perfect. But of course, like if you're going abroad and or traveling in the UK, wherever, I think you do have to be prepped to some level. Is it something that I worry about? It more so with Sunday, but with Finty not at all, because she really, she's adaptable and she's got more of a varied diet. With Sunday, I'm like, oh God, it's
what's it gonna be?
She is an absolute nightmare on an aeroplane. Sunday, I have to be prepped with her. I have
to
have
for food. You have to have food with you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sorry. Yes, in terms of food.
Yeah.
She just refuses everything. And I wasn't as prepared as what I should have on the way out to Mauritius, a long haul flight, and she ended up just eating crisps.
Whatever was around.
No,
yeah, but
so
sometimes
bad.
That's the thing. And I think, like, you know, you kind of alluded to it, but look, we punish ourselves so much as parents, like feeling guilty and feeling like we're getting it wrong all the time. But like, it doesn't work like that. And what they're eating the majority of the time matters so much more than those odd, you know, emergency days or holidays where it doesn't go to plan. And I think that, you know, this kind of like stress that we build up around ourselves, it is unnecessary because it is the bigger picture. And I always say to families, look at what your kid is eating over a week, not on one day or on one trip, you know, over weeks and months rather than that. And I think, yeah, it's so easy, isn't it, for us to get carried away.
I have noticed more recently with Finty that she, I think now because she's nearly two, she is definitely... Don't know if it's whether she's finding her, not her voice, but she's starting to push back.
Okay.
And I'm like, no, you're meant to be my foodie. But 1 week she's smashing away her tender stem broccoli. And the next week she's like, no, yucky.
Yeah.
I was like, don't say that word. But it's good because she's communicating. But it's like a fickle age, isn't it?
Oh, it's so fickle. It's such a fickle age. It's so funny because my son, he ate really well right until three. And I was like, oh, we've got this.
Smashed it.
And then at three, we hit lockdown and like everything changed. And then boom, all of a sudden he started being picky. And I was exactly like you. I was like, no, this cannot happen. Like he loved food so much. And he would, like you'd put food in front of him and he'd just sit there just devouring it. You could tell like he just loved it, like such a foodie. And when he hit three, I was like, I can't believe this is happening. And I was actually prepping the recipes for this book at the time. So I'm there in the kitchen, pregnant with a pelvic girdle pain in lockdown.
I got that. Oh my goodness, awful. I got that.
Awful. Did you have it with Finty?
I had it with Finty and I was Googling it and some women end up having to go into wheelchairs because it is that bad. It's insane, isn't it?
It was so painful. So awful. And you know, this was lockdown as well, where you got like a 30-minute walk a day. I couldn't go for a walk.
No, I couldn't do the school run.
It was and I was cooking recipes, but I had to get a chair and literally sit in my kitchen and have somebody move the chair for me so that I could do the cooking.
It was whilst your son was refusing the meals.
Whilst he was then starting to refuse the meals. And I'm like, I'm literally cooking you. You've eaten everything your whole life, and now I'm making you recipes from here. And you're refusing them. It was just baffling. But I just had to like step back and be like, what's your advice? What would your advice be to other people? And it is honestly, even if Finty goes through it, it will be a phase. And I think girls go through those phases much more quickly than boys do in my experience.
Yeah.
So it will be a phase. And I think a lot of parents, if I could pass one bit of wisdom, it would always be that these things do happen, but you need to try not to change what you're doing. Carry on being a foodie. Carry on offering all the foods that you do. Carry on showing them how much you love cooking and love food. And that will rub off. Even if you go through those really up and down tricky phases, you'll get back there most likely.
Because I think they're the moments where it could all go wrong.
Yeah.
Like it's holding faith that they will come out of this phase.
Yeah.
Because it's... Not that there's anything wrong, by the way, with giving your children spaghetti bolognese and chicken nuggets. But I think that especially like say if Finty's teething or she's poorly or she's just feeling needy, she will refuse her food. And I have in the past got really stressed, but I'm like, okay, just telling myself, I know it's a phase and just to not give up, because you can so easily just think, oh, do you know what? They're either having a tantrum or what have you. I just want them to eat.
Yeah.
Just want them to eat. Yeah. So I'm just going to give them their favourite. Yeah. And then that's where it all goes. That's where I've got it wrong with Sunday.
Exactly that. Oh, so because I was going to ask you about that. Like you actually, similarly to me again, like you have two very different eaters. I have two different eaters. And I don't think I've really done anything differently with the two of them. But what about you? Do you feel like, first of all, why do you feel like there's such a difference between the way that your two eat? Do you feel in your mind like there's a reason for that?
Yes. Circumstances. When I was weaning Sunday, I was a single parent and a busy, busy individual. Now, still busy, but we work from home.
Yeah.
So we've got Finty with us all the time and just different circumstances and I'd done baby-led weaning with Sunday because I wanted to without doing as much research into it and then I quickly realized that I didn't have the time and did just end up just giving her like just and I feel like that because I don't want to be like, oh, I've done a disservice because, you know, you just do what you have to do. Yeah, exactly, to get by. So, and yeah, I think I was a different mother. I'm older now, and I'm parenting with someone, and you sort of, you do learn from your mistakes, don't you? But now, Sunday, as she's getting older, and this is why I keep coming back to, there is hope, because obviously she's got stepbrother and Finty, and she's seeing them eating. That's how we've got over the cheesing, and now she's eating cheeseburgers, which I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Because we love doing burger night at ours and doing, you know, making our own burgers. And it's so fun and interactive for the kids and for them to get involved. And she's like watching her brother and sister, and she's like, okay, I'll just have the cheese.
Love it.
Because she's got a dried, you know, it's not dried, obviously, but it's just like, it looks dry. Mm. She's just got the bread and the beef burger and nothing else. And I'm like, we make our own burger sauce with Greek yogurt. And I'm like, just try. I'm telling you, if you have it with the cheese is, it's like a sauce. And she tried it. And now, oh, it's the greatest thing when you see your children eat.
Explore as well.
Yes.
Explore something. Yeah. I love that as well. And I think, again, I feel like if you're a real foodie and you love a variety and you get excited about food, like the way you described, like the dinner you're going to have tonight, it's the excitement. And when you then see your kids starting to like dip their toes in that, you're like, oh my God, you've got so much to come. You know, it's really wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually, that was one thing I really wanted to ask you about, because you are doing, you do show a bit of cooking with your kids. First of all, do you enjoy doing that? Like, do you enjoy cooking with them? And second of all, what do you feel like it's like a good thing to share? Because I feel like a lot of parents are nervous about cooking with their kids, or they just don't do, or we just don't have time.
Yeah, I have to catch Sunday in the right mood.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fun when she's up for it.
Wants to,
and she will very much tell me if she doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, all the moments where she's like, no, won't end up on my Instagram. So you see the best bits. But yeah, I love that. And like, you know, going back to, that's what I loved about, loved being in the kitchen, even if I wasn't actually cooking with my mum or dad, just being around it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it is important to me to share and use my platform. Again, it's like, it's one of my passions. So yeah, if I catch Sunday in a good mood, then definitely.
Brilliant.
But Finty is climbing. Yeah. We've got like where we cook and then a lower breakfast bar. So she'll literally get onto the hop. She wants to be involved. Yeah. So yeah, I think I've got more hope with Finty.
And even you can do that from a really young age. I think a lot of parents are unsure about cooking with kids because it's messy. Because in my experience as well, they start off really interested and then they're like, right, bored now. And then you're left to deal with the chaos that has been created. And also half the time you can't actually eat the meal, especially when they're younger. I remember I used to cook with Raf again during lockdown. I used to do lives with him cooking. And he'd just be eating, I'd watch back and he'd just be smashing the ingredients into his mouth. I was like, no wonder it didn't turn out well. But I love it. And it's just time, isn't it? Having time. But I think, do you think that helps with Sundays eating? So do you think that maybe like experimenting a little bit with cooking, getting her involved, even like I say, if it's just watching you, do you feel like that is having, even if it's a little trickle of effect on her exploring food more?
100%. Yeah. Because it's so rewarding, isn't it? For us, but also for them.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, in the most recent 2 weeks, she has been boiling the pasta. We make this, this amazing breakfast for her, which is Greek yogurt. And then I just make like a berry compote. Nice.
Compote.
I feel extra posh when I say compote.
Compote.
Berry compote. Adding the chia seeds.
Love it.
Chia chia. And she's really getting into that. And then she's like, oh, I can see it. I can see
it's
that.
Coming. I
yeah,
love
that
it.
She feels like she's accomplished something. So, and I keep saying to her, there you are. You can make an omelette now.
Yeah.
You can make your tomato pasta.
Love
so,
it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely because it's completely eating something, isn't it? And she feels more excited to eat it.
I think I remember when we met before, I remember you saying that she does actually eat quite a lot of different things. Like there's some foods that I can't even remember what it was now, whether it was like oily fish or there were some things that she'd eat that she wouldn't typically.
Yeah, seaweed.
She
doesn't eat sandwiches, but she said that she wanted to have a seaweed wrap.
Yeah, and you were like,
right.
I love it.
Okay.
So it's not that she's like It's just the certain foods. It's almost more of a like kind of control-y thing, do you think?
Hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down. Mm. It is control, isn't it?
Do you think there's a reason for that? Like, would there maybe have been a reason when you were feeding her, when she was older, or did it start at a certain time in her life? Like, I just feel, I always love the psychology around kind of fussy eating.
Yeah, so do I. It's fascinating. Maybe it was attention. Mm. Sunday, I mean, yeah, I did it. I shared it on my reality show. Now I'm like more protective of her as we don't share all of our lives. But she had bad tantrums, really bad tantrums. I don't know why, but she was just, she demands so much more of my attention than anyone on this planet. And I think that she learned really quickly that she could do that through food as well. And I explored it, the psychology behind it and all of that. And I think that children are so intuitive and clever and she knows how much food means to me. But now I think she's really grown out of it and she's becoming so much better. But yeah, maybe it's attention.
I think sometimes they do that because actually, you know, children love attention, whether it's negative or positive.
So
they do just love our attention. And I think sometimes that's where they feel they can get some control as well. You know, they don't have a lot of autonomy. And all of a sudden you get this meal and they can see that there's a reaction when they don't eat it. And they're thinking, oh, well, maybe I can actually get some of my own autonomy and my stamp here. And but it's obviously really hard for us.
Mm.
The other thing I wanted to ask you is it must be really hard trying to navigate two quite different eaters for mealtimes.
Mm.
So when you're preparing meals, when you're feeding both your kids, how do you do that? How do you do it so that you know you're going to get, you know, Finty, who's a real foodie, and still help her explore plenty, but also Sunday, who maybe is a little bit more, I'm not eating that. How do you do that and then being a foodie yourself?
Yeah, it's hard. And sometimes I do end up cooking four different meals and I hate that. Mm. I know that that's such a thing. You just make, say, for example, if I'm making, let's have a think. You just make each meal. Well, I know that Sunday doesn't like cheese.
Yeah.
Or I know that Finty likes hers a bit more. Let's say we're doing a roast dinner. I'll just make sure that Finty's got loads of cauliflower cheese.
It's
almost like her main meal. Mm. And then, you make concessions.
You kind of do
is
little
that the
bits.
Right? Yeah, exactly. But it's difficult.
It's difficult.
However, I feel like we're getting better and getting through it.
Mm.
But I've got a question, right?
Yeah.
Because every night, Sunday expects dessert. And I honestly don't know how I've ended up here. Whereas Finty, she has, it's fascinating actually, because Finty, we've really tried to limit that. Laurie's on it even more so than me. He's like, she's not having chocolate. She doesn't have, she's like, I feel like she's really pure and like whole foods. And she, even when I've like sneakily offered it to her, Finty refuses it. It is so interesting just where she hasn't had it. But every night, Sunday I'll be in bed and she's like, I haven't had dessert. And I'm like, you don't have to have it every night.
Love that.
Like she just expects, and then I'm seeing a lot where you should offer them, offer their dessert at the same time.
Yeah.
What do you think?
There is, so especially from like a young age, if you're offering, like rather than this idea of offering a main and then a pudding, what we see often happens is that children will then want the pudding. So they then start to refuse bits of the main, or they don't eat as much because they're like, right, I want to get to the sweet. And often pudding is sweet. So basically, it's like that preference for sweeter foods, and also the hierarchy as well. We're saying like the pudding is the good stuff. And the pudding is the stuff to get to. And that's often the sweet stuff. So it can be tricky, and it can actually make kids like their kind of savory food less because they're like, well, I want to get to the pudding.
Mm.
I like the idea of offering it together, because what you're doing is you're not putting that food on a hierarchy. You're saying, yeah, you can eat the strawberries if you want to eat the strawberries. And it's about that again. It's allowing them to have the autonomy. If you want to eat that bit first, you eat that bit first. And let's say it's like strawberry and yogurt with chia seeds, like you talked about earlier. Like that's really nutrient rich food, but it is sweeter and it is more traditionally seen as pudding. But actually, it's adding plenty of nutrients in, but it doesn't mean they're going to necessarily after time eat that in place of their meal, especially if you put it all together and you allow them to make the decision of what they're eating first.
But do you think you can do that with a 7-8-year-old?
It's definitely harder with a 7 or 8-year-old, definitely. But I would try, I'd go in there slowly. So maybe when you're building a meal, you have some chopped up strawberries at the side. And, you know, everyone helps themselves to a few of the strawberries along with the meal. It might sound a bit strange,
I'm
but then I would I'd try building that up.
Yes.
And then, like I say, allowing her that autonomy, if she wants to have a little bit more, fine, but just not making a big deal of it, acting nonchalant, eating a little bit of that yourself, but then still tucking into your main. Because, you know, everything that you're saying to me as well is for me, I'm thinking you're going to be absolutely fine, because all of the messages that she's going to be seeing from you around food and how you love food and you love to cook and explore it, all of those messages will be being soaked up little by little. And eventually you'll get to a point where she is so much better with it.
Yeah.
So I think modeling is really key. But I would try doing that and then see if you can kind of move slowly away from the pudding idea. The other thing you could do is try and make sure that sometimes when you offer pudding, they're savory options. It's a top up of nutrients and energy, and it's not always something sweet, if that makes sense.
Oh.
So you could try that as well. But it's really difficult when they're in a habit of it. And often children go to nursery or school and it's like absolutely ingrained that they have a main and then they have a pudding afterwards.
So true.
So it's really tricky. And it's not to say that there's a problem with the pudding. It's just sometimes it can end up with children refusing more of the main and also thinking that that pudding is the better. That's the thing that we need to reach for. So it's about trying to just reduce that a little bit. But yeah, try offering it at the same time. Just see what happens.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Might seem a bit strange.
No, I'm going to do it tonight, because if I'm having the mango and pineapple
salsa,
yeah, she loves mango. So I might just put it on
the
side.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect. Put some mango.
Nice.
And what was it you're having? And then maybe like a dollop of yogurt next to it, like perfect.
Delightful.
Give it a go.
Oh, it's making me hungry.
I love it. You talk loads about Sunday, but with Finty, what do you, again, did you do anything differently? Do you feel like there was a reason why Finty's maybe been a bit more of a food explorer? I know you said that you feel like, you know, life's a bit different, but was there anything that you, I mean, obviously a lot of this is personality as well. Kids are different. And I think that, again, we don't give ourselves enough credit for that, because for me, I'm a nutritionist. I specialize in this field. I raised Raph and Ada the same way, but Ada is a bird. She's a little picky eater. She needs small meals more often. She refused so many foods to begin with, and like egg, avocado, broccoli, so many staples in our house, porridge, she refused. And I was like, wow, I was not expecting this when I started weaning her. So
how's she now?
She's so much better. So I did not give up with like the offering the avocado and the offering the egg. My son loves porridge and loves egg. And I was like, I'm not going to not offer it to him.
Yeah.
So I would offer it every morning. I'd put a tiny dollop of it on her plate. She would barely eat breakfast until she was way into her second year. But I just kept going. And now she's great. She still eats small portions, but she eats pretty much everything, and
nice.
She loves food. It's just taken time. But do you feel like you did anything? Was there like, did you have a different mindset about like, I'm going to do this differently when you went in with Finty?
Yeah, I had a plan, and I know I keep saying it, but it was your book.
Love it.
Do you know, I followed it to...
Oh, did you?
You know, those first
the
few 30 weeks.
Days, yeah.
And she didn't refuse anything.
Love that.
Now I know that she doesn't like avocado.
Yeah.
You know, when they're babies, she really was just eating everything.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. It was it was such a brilliant, fun chapter.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Whereas, I know you shouldn't compare, but I naturally do. Whereas as Sunday, it was more just necessity. Like we're just needing
getting
to
get through it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whereas it was an absolute pleasure with Finty.
I love that.
But now I know, like, you know, she every time I offer her avocado, she does not. Mm. So I'm like, okay, well, she obviously clearly doesn't like that. But it was just brilliant just to then introduce the flavors and get creative with it.
Mm.
And she's just a brilliant eater. I feel lucky.
I think like with the book, one of the things I wanted to do was give that idea of, if I give you a 30 days and add loads of variety in, then parents can go, right, I know my child can eat all these foods. So it gives you such a massive platform of like, a massive chunk of foods that you know, I can offer these to my baby, my baby's had them, my baby's accepted them. Mm. And it's just, the idea behind it is confidence, so that there you go forward and you're like, right, I know that I can give this huge variety to my baby and it's no problem.
Yeah.
And like, I love that you've enjoyed it. Yeah. Like, that's what it should be about, you know, it should be about enjoying that process and taking the highs and the lows. And yeah, it sounds like you were able to do that, which probably has had a really, really big impact on her eating experience.
Yeah. Do you know, you've just reminded me of something, the dips in the book.
Oh, love, love a dip.
And that's where I feel like you can really introduce more flavours and more ingredients. Mm. And yeah, we made like a baba ganoush or something.
I love a baba ganoush.
I need to do that again.
And do you know what? It's such an exploratory flavour and texture for babies, because it's like, it's a bit smoky and aubergine's a bit different, isn't it? A lot of babies don't really experience aubergine, but I love a baba ganoush. And it's so great in a dip as well, because they can kind of, again, it's that autonomy. They can have a little stick of something and they can dip it in and they can help themselves. And do you feel, did you do a lot more? I know you said you did baby-led weaning with Sunday, but when you went in with Finty, was it, did you kind of let her lead, like as in feed herself, like pick up the pieces of food herself as well?
So I knew that after doing baby-led weaning with Sunday that you have to have so much time. And it's like, this is my experience. Might be different for others. I really wanted with Finty to do both. So for her to like explore pieces and pick up those finger foods, but also, you know, do it with a spoon as well. And she's now really good with
Love her.
But she, again, I don't know if this is right or wrong. I guess there is no right and wrong, but she, if there's a spoon and a fork there, she is really good with it. But she still pretty much uses her hands with everything.
Honestly, my son did not stop using his hands
for
so long. I think like with the whole like baby-led weaning and letting them explore, it's obviously great. I remember my husband always saying to me, would you rather he loved his food and he made a bit of a mess and he ate with his hands, or would you rather he didn't like his food and he ate really well with a knife and fork? And I was like, I know which one I take.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it too soon. The, you know, again, it's the modelling, it's the offering the knife and fork for her to use herself, it's all of that kind of stuff. It will take time, and the skills to use them efficiently are not quite there yet, whereas they're really good at pouring things into their mouths. So do you ever feel pressure from social media and from what you share? Like, first of all, I think sharing things about feeding kids, for some reason, it is an emotional thing. Some people have a big emotional reactions to it. So, you know, they might feel like maybe they're not doing it the right way or you're doing it wrong. Do you ever feel pressure with like the food side of things? First of all, to share it. And second of all, you know, do you ever get attacked for anything you do around feeding your kids?
Not so much anymore. I feel like back in the day, and maybe when I wasn't as confident, and I used to say, God, the mum police are out in force. And, you know, people really, I welcome that now, though. I've got a different view on it, because people like to share their opinion, and especially when it comes to what worked for them.
Yeah.
But as we know, like, everyone's different and individual, and what might work for them isn't going to necessarily work for your household and your family and children. But yeah, I like to welcome other people's opinions. Obviously not the trolls. I think that opening that conversation, if people are like, oh, I wouldn't have done this, or, you know, maybe, oh, I didn't know you could do this. And again, having the conversations with my friends, like my friend that I spoke about earlier, she's currently weaning her baby, and I love, you know, I love sharing what works, but she might try that with her baby. And
So it's just the approach of like, do you know what? This is how I'm doing it. I'm going to share it. And I'd love, you know, fair enough. Here's your opinion. And that's great. But you don't take it like personally or...
No, I feel more pressure when I'm sharing, I was going to say adult food, because the kids,
I feel that's really interesting.
Yeah, I feel more confident. Whereas where if I'm... Not an imposter, but I'm like, oh, people are going to think, who's she? She's no chef. But then I'm just like, no, this is my passion. This is what I love to do. It doesn't matter. And yeah, you've just got to be authentic to yourself, haven't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, that's so interesting because I think like parenting is so sensitive, you know, and obviously raising kids in this era that we've been raising kids and, you know, somewhat sharing what we've been doing online. I just think you're so subject to like other people's opinions in it. I've always found that really hard and trying to like get it right and make sure that you're not offending anyone. So it's interesting that you found it the other way with food.
You can't get it right. I'm still breastfeeding Finty.
I was going to ask about that.
So that causes a lot of people's opinions and a lot of, you know, pro breastfeeders and a lot of not anti breastfeeders, but it can be very triggering for some. And I completely understand, you know, lots of mothers who couldn't breastfeed. And there was a time, not so much anymore, but every time that I was posting about breastfeeding, I felt like I had to do like a disclaimer. I had to say, look, I really understand that this can be triggering. And then as time went on, and this has taken a lot for me to get here, I've had to just be really strong and say, and think to myself, I really understand, you can't get it right. You're not always going to be able to please everyone.
Yeah.
And I've just had to just be like, do you know what? And now I've almost become an advocate for breastfeeding.
I love seeing
which I didn't plan to do that at all. I didn't even plan to be breastfeeding. Finty's nearly two and I didn't plan to breastfeed for this long at all. And I've got no, I don't know when I'm going to stop. People ask me every day, oh, when are you thinking about stopping? And I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know. And she almost wants it more than ever at the moment. That was one thing actually I spoke about is returning from our holiday. Because I don't know, I was in a bikini and just for ease, I was breastfeeding her far more just out of comfort. And then when I got back, I noticed that it was affecting her meals. So I was like, it's really hard to say like, oh no, like there's no more. I've found that a struggle, but I'm like, no, I want her to still enjoy her,
of course,
her main meals. So I'm really trying to not do it during the day and just do her morning feed and her evening, because she doesn't need it for food, really. It is more for comfort. Even
but there's
though
still plenty of benefits.
So many health benefits.
Such a variety of ways,
It's incredible. So, going back to not pleasing everyone, now I'm just like, do you know what?
Yeah.
I'm posting this for the breastfeeding community and there is a huge community of breastfeeding post, you know, that pre-toddler, preschoolers age.
Completely.
And I feel like a duty to do it for them now. Yeah. Not breastfeeding, to post about it.
Yeah, so, because it doesn't get much airtime and there is a bit of stigma around it. And it is a real shame because it's like the most natural thing to do. And yeah, I think it's a real shame. I think a lot of people are, I guess, a bit nervous. So do you feel like, did you feel nervous at any point about sharing that you were still breastfeeding? Or did you always feel like, no, this is it. I'm doing it for me and her and we're both enjoying it. And why wouldn't we?
Yeah, it feels so natural to us. I do, I guess, during the day, if I'm out in public now, don't get me wrong, I do feel, oh, like more so now than when she was younger. But I feel like there's not enough visuals in the public eye on social media of women breastfeeding toddlers.
Yeah.
So I feel proud to be doing that.
And I think so many mums will be like, thank you. They'll be super grateful for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love it. I love it. I think it's brilliant. One thing I was going to ask as well, we've kind of talked about this with the holiday, but obviously you're a working mum. You know, you're often on TV doing lots of different things. How do you day-to-day manage mealtimes? Like, do you have support at home? Like, are you, you know, I know you said you kind of prep them day-to-day, but how do you kind of manage mealtimes on a day-to-day basis, cooking for everyone in the family when you've been working and come home? Because I think, you know, this is one thing that I get asked all the time is I cannot manage it. I can't manage to feed my kids the kind of meals that you're feeding or cooking. And obviously for you, there's a lot of love in cooking. But how do you... any kind of tips or advice to families who are really struggling with making meals at home?
I think, yeah, it's a tricky one because where I enjoy it, I'll make the time. For example, this morning, like I said, I've got the bits out of the freezer and I made Finty's lunch, so it's ready for Carly, who's looking after her today, to give to her. So I just made like a broccoli mac and cheese, essentially, just chucked it all in a saucepan.
Yeah.
Really easy. You know, you shouldn't boil your, well, whatever floats your boat, but it reminds me of my nan when she'd like boil the vegetables over, to like mush. That's what we do with the broccoli pasta. Yeah. So it's just all in one. But advice, oh, it's so tough. I think like prep.
Yeah.
Prep in the morning, if you've got the time to, I don't know, because everyone's life's really different. It's so different. I think just go with how you can make your life easier is, prep in the morning or do something simple. I'm a big fan of the air fryer.
Yeah.
Is that allowed? Love
it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And the microwave, to be fair. Yeah. I mean, there's whatever you choose to do, there'll be something online saying
always. But
just, I had this conversation with my friend Danielle. She won't mind me saying it. We'd done TOWIE together. And she's like, I'm like, you know, my meals are simple. She's like, babe, they're not simple. And I'm like, they are. Yeah. They are to me. And I was like, it's just chucking stuff in. For me, I feel like you need, okay, this is my advice. You need like your staples.
Yeah.
And you need a good, well-stocked, like, you know, your store cupboard.
That's my thing as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your staples.
Then, if you've got all your herbs and spices and you've got your...
Like pastas. Yeah, and we use a lot of Orzo at the moment.
Oh, it's so quick. Yeah. It's so quick.
Yeah.
And my girls, and the freezer, like utilise your freezer.
Yes, exactly that.
That is the best. Mm. Like for me, that is my... Like if I'm in a rush, say if I've got a Sunday and I've got more time, then I will make
a big meal.
Yeah, my girls, both the girls, and I feel like this is quite adventurous. They both love a mixed bean chili.
Love it.
And it so gives me great pleasure to add that little bit of chili powder. I'm like, look at my baby's eating spice.
Yeah.
Dollop of Greek yogurt just to like tame it. And then, but yeah, like that's all store. Like I always have big bag of carrots, big bag of potatoes, and then all my beans and different bits and bobs in the in the cupboard.
Yeah. That's freezer. The same. I always have a stock of like staples like oats and pasta and rice and couscous and eggs that are there every day. So you've always got something when you come home, you're like, I know I can whip something up.
Exactly.
But yeah, freezer. And like you said, with that chili, you can then have that a couple of times during the week if you've made enough.
Oh,
like you can
absolutely.
Have it on jacket potato, you can have it on nachos, you can have it with rice, you can have it on top of pasta. Like that's what I love to do.
I'm excited. Hungry. Yum.
Oh, well, honestly, I've absolutely loved this so much. I'm just going to do quick fire round with you.
Fun.
But before we do that, I want to say it's just so wonderful speaking to someone who loves food. And I think who, you know, you're really relatable, but, you know, for a lot of parents because you're busy and you're working and there's the real reality to it. Like it's not all, you know, sunshine and rainbows. Mm. It is tricky. There are some challenges to it. And every day, like you said at the start, it isn't that you're cooking up, you know, three bean chilies every single day.
No.
Sometimes it is jacket potato or something easy. And I love that because you've got a bit of both. But your love for food, I genuinely believe, will have such an impact on your two girls eating. So yeah,
you
smashed it.
Thank
so you. quick fire. What is your go-to recipe when you have zero time?
Oh, these fire rounds.
I know,
very
I'm
quick.
Terrible.
Oh, right,
I am
okay.
Terrible.
Go for the kids.
Yes.
For the children. Okay, go-to recipe. It would be like a tomato pasta.
Perfect.
With some sort of like mincemeat, meatball. Just quick.
Love
quick
it.
Quick and easy.
Perfect. And what's one food they both refuse to eat, if there is anything?
Avocado.
Okay.
It's such a shame, isn't it?
Easy, nice, healthy fats. One thing you wish you'd done differently when feeding when they were little? Can be for one or the other.
Yeah. I think probably with Sunday, I did do the pouches. Why am I whispering?
I love it. You don't need to whisper it.
The pouches. I wouldn't do that with Vinci now. Mm. I feel completely different.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, got you. One tip for parents struggling with mealtimes.
Oh, just take the pressure off.
Yeah.
You know, and 100%. I think just stick to the foods that they love and then slowly. And also, don't give up. Like, I will do, like, them a little mini crudité.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
In the middle with love the that. Pepper. And
yeah.
Because that's the one food that I don't like.
Pepper.
Peppers.
Oh, really?
And they both love.
Love
so,
it.
Yeah.
Keep offering. Oh, it's such an easy one. I always find that any meal can be made nice. With peppers. That's what I always
not for me.
Sorry about that.
Not for me. But I get it.
Yeah.
I get why people love them.
And last but not least, this is a bit of a cat, you know, funny one. What is the one thing you've had to do just to get them to eat? Is there any time where you've had to do something funny or that you never thought you'd do to try and get them to eat?
Oh, God, there must be loads of stuff. Do you know, we once made, this isn't funny, but we once made like a whole folder for Sunday and made it into like a really fun where we printed the pictures and
it.
Cut them out. And she had like a whole list of foods that she loved because it's, sometimes there'll be a dish or a recipe and she's like, I'm not eating it. But I'm like, when you break it all up, babe, yeah. you love all of
yeah.
them things, but put together, it's the combination or it's the control.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I was like, see, let's revert back to the folder. You like,
oh my
you like
God,
this, and
brilliant.
It's in one. So yeah.
I love it. Yeah. So does she help make it with you?
Yeah, exactly. So she's got the recipes that she likes and the food that, the different ingredients that she knows that she eats.
That is honestly really sweet.
Yeah.
And you can always add to it and build to
exactly.
it as well as she gets more experimental. And
yeah.
that might even give her like a bit of a, you know, a bit of a buzz. Love it. That is brilliant. That's a really, really good option. Thank you so much for coming. I'm sorry. I could probably talk to you for hours because
yes.
we both love food. But thank you for coming.
Oh.
I'm really, really grateful to have you here.
Thank you for having
thank
me.
You, my love. A huge thank you to Fern for being a podcast guest for me this week. I really hope you guys enjoyed that chat as much as I did. So later on in the week, I'll be diving into a topic that so many parents find challenging. How to try and raise a little foodie before they've even taken their first bite. I'll try and break it down into simple, actionable strategies to help you instill a love for food right from the very beginning. Thank you so much for tuning in to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling Reed, which is brought to you by Little Dish at their gorgeous headquarters. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, please do subscribe, share it with a friend, or leave a quick review. It really, really does mean a lot. This episode of How to Feed wouldn't have been possible without my sponsors, Little Dish. Their meals are fresh, delicious, and made with ingredients that you would find in your own kitchen, making them a brilliant option for busy days.